The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for exposing the masters within. Let's get started. Today is Sunday, May 20th, 2012, if you're listening live, and some other time if you're listening to the recording. Welcome aboard. Happy to be here on a beautiful day in New England. Actually, almost a summer day. It's up in the mid-80s, but that's beside the point until we get into the flow here. So let's make the connections that allow this to happen every week. The first thing, as always, is to connect with ourselves, to go within, to meet our own mastery, if you will, meet our own divinity, and do that in whatever way works best for you, of course, but allow yourself to take a moment here and just expand your connection with your soul, higher self, divinity, whatever term you might choose. And just allow yourself to breathe into that energy and allow that energy to expand throughout your being, your physical body, emotional body, mental body, every bit of you. Fill yourself up. Often in the way life is constructed here on planet Earth, we don't do that enough. We don't fill ourselves up, and that's the first step to moving toward mastery. We're all about giving to others, which, don't get me wrong, is a wonderful thing, but if we're not filling ourselves up first, we're going to run out of gas eventually. So, one more breath to allow that to expand further. And on we go to connecting with our Mother Earth. Our basis in these dimensions, our home, where we get our start. So allow yourself again in whatever way works best for you, opening your feet, opening your root, lying down on the earth, whatever might work. Just open up to that connection with her and allow yourself to expand the relationship that you have with her. Now that goes both ways. So it's about receiving from her. It's about receiving her love, her support for you. And it's also about giving back to her, giving her your gratitude, giving her your love, giving her your support. Each one of us can make a difference in what's happening in the world and on the planet. So just allow yourself to open and feel that flow, her energy, love, support, filling you up. And that energy of love and gratitude and support flowing back to her. And the more we step into that gratitude, the more we're able to receive that love and support. How much we give. Creates how much we receive. So, next step, let's open up to connect with our guides and angels, all those higher dimensional beings that are here as well to support us. Once more, in your own form, opening your heart, opening your mind, opening your energy field in whatever way feels best to you. And once more, stepping into a closer relationship. So it's opening up the energies of receiving the love and support that they offer us. And it's opening up the energy of giving back, giving that gratitude, giving your love, giving your support. And allow yourself to breathe that fully in and feel that flow as much as you're able in this moment. All right. And on to the next piece, which is connecting with the community that we have here, the community of exposing the masters within. So allow yourself to open out, again, whatever way works best for you, to receive the love and support of all the others who are co-creating with us here today, either in person or through the recording. All the energies come together in what we do here. And allow yourself to receive that, to feel that. What we're creating here is far from just my words. It's an energy field. It's a consciousness. It's a movement toward empowerment, toward mastery. So let yourself feel that as much as you're able. And again, allow yourself as well to send your own love and support, gratitude to the rest of the community for co-creating in this way. And just let that flow continue throughout what we do here today. And finally, the final connection we do consciously here is to open up to the community of all the light workers on the planet. And by that I mean all the beings on the planet who are seeking that energy of empowerment, that energy of mastery, both for themselves and for all the rest of us. And as we step into and open up to that energy and receive that shared intention, the energy of support of that shared intention, and we feed our love and gratitude back to all the rest, supporting every light worker in their own particular needs, in their own particular way of seeking empowerment and mastery. And just allow that feeling of relationship expand. Wonderful. Now, I don't know how many times I might have said this before, and maybe you've heard it and maybe you haven't, but I have been, for quite some time now, using that particular pattern of connecting on a daily basis, connecting with my own divinity, connecting with the earth, connecting with the guides, connecting with the community, and have found it to be really quite powerful. A wonderful way to get centered and started. It certainly doesn't take long. Tends to take, for me, fewer than 5 minutes. Well, so about the same time as it takes when we do it here on the radio. But it really helps me to ground into the higher level of whatever I'm seeking to do. So although I do choose to do it on a regular basis daily, most of the time I start my day with it, or pretty soon after I get up. I'm not always clear enough in the head to get right to it first thing when I wake up, but definitely before I start whatever work or whatever projects I might be doing that particular day. And I'll also come back to it if there's anything that kind of knocks me off center. It's a wonderful way to come back and feel more grounded and more connected. And it doesn't matter if there's anyone around me physically that I'm going to be dealing with directly that day in person. It is a wonderful opening into that community. So just offer that as a thought for you. You might want to choose to take that particular piece out into your life in whatever way suits you, whatever way works for you. All right. So let's get to the meat of today's episode, today's program. And as I have a tendency to do, I kind of open over the last 24, 48 hours to what might be the topic for the show, for the episode. And what came in earlier this morning was the topic of passion. And I find that to be a very interesting topic because it's something that I've been looking to expand in my life for probably most of my life. And I've come to understand it a lot better in the last number of years and ways to open to passion, ways to activate passion. But what I want to talk about is one of the things that I think prevents many of us, I know it's the case for me, gets in the way of us experiencing more passion in our lives. And the best word to describe that is control. I believe, my own personal experience, and again, in working with all the wonderful clients and students that I've worked with through the years, I believe that for many of us, if not most of us, if not all of us, the biggest thing that gets in the way of living with more passion is the part of us or the parts of us that feel the need to control what we're experiencing. Now, how does that work? Well, I think that culturally we have this idea that passion, one way to describe passion, would be out of control. That phrase is almost a definition for what it means to be passionate. That we are letting go of safety, that we're putting ourselves out on a limb. And I believe in some ways that that's true when we're living a passionate life or a passionate expression or a passionate experience, that we are letting go of control. And I think that that's the necessary component to get to more compassion or more passion, more compassion too. We can't control if we're going to be stepping into compassion either, but that's not the topic for today. Well, I was reminded earlier, and this has been going through my head for the last hour at least, of the Man in Black, Johnny Cash, and one of his songs. And I believe this is actually the name of the title of the song, although I could be wrong about that, called Ring of Fire. And I can't say that I can sing other people's lyrics well, in tune and on the right notes. So I think I'll maybe just quote it instead of trying to sing it. But I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames got higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And for me, I think that encapsulates how we as a culture think about passion, that it's this thing that's going to burn us. It's letting go of control. We're falling into it. It's falling in love, which is the most powerful image of passion, is that of passion with a partner. It's that sexual energy. It's that almost compulsion to be with someone else. And that is, for many of us, frightening. The idea that we're not going to be able to control the circumstances. And I want to make a clarification here that I think there's a confusion going on in that image of passion and that image of losing control is an image of losing choice. And I think there's a great distinction to be made here in that, yes, there is, I believe, passion that can be that way. But I think it's that way almost in direct proportion to the degree to which we feel we need to be in control. In other words, the more clamped down we are in that need to control, the further we're going to be so-called out of control when passion finds us, when it wakes up. But the most important piece to me in looking at this is that in control, while we may appear to be at choice, to be using our free will, in actuality, we're not. When we're trying to control a situation, when we're trying to control another person, when we're trying to control the outcome of a particular circumstance or situation, what we are feeling is fear. What we're feeling is that we don't deserve the highest outcome, so we're going to try and control it. We're not feeling that we have the ability or the power to make choices that are going to get us an outcome that we would desire. And so we try to limit the damage by controlling the circumstances, or at least attempting to. Although any of us who are, I think, being very, very honest with ourselves will realize that if it involves any other person, control, true control, complete control is impossible. We cannot predetermine outcome. And yet, we're trying to. And so for me, I find it interesting that control and passion seem to be these two extreme polarities in our consciousness, neither of which is us making conscious choice, actually using our free will. And so, ironically to me, I believe that one of the best ways to awaken more passion is to step into more conscious choice. Now, maybe that requires a redefining of what passion is. And again, the cultural image of passion is so much about that sexual passion, and it's so much about passion in relationship. But I think for most of us, if we think about it, we can connect with memory, images, people who seem to be passionate in their life, who seem to live passionately. And it's not necessarily about that sexual piece, although by all means, that's great when people do find that. But I want to open up the door to opening up passion in our entire lives, in every aspect of our lives. And that, to me, is not about waiting for lightning to strike. It's not about waiting for that perfect partner to come along who is going to wake up passion in us. That is about listening to, well, the master within. There's multiple ways that this has been described by different people. One of the ones I like the most anyway, is the phrase, follow your bliss. And to me, the more we are, again, consciously choosing the path that we're walking, the places that we're putting our energy into, and the more we're consciously choosing those places based upon our desire, that inner voice, the master within us that is guiding us to make those choices, the more we are focusing in that way, the more we are going to wake up that energy of passion. And so for me, and I don't know if this is a complete redefinition of passion or merely an expansion of the idea of what passion is, but passion to me is about, number one, conscious choice, and number two, expanding focus or expanding engagement. In other words, when we consciously choose a direction, when we consciously choose an activity, when we consciously choose an interaction, the more we desire to be in that interaction, in that relationship, in that circumstance, the more that matches what that still small voice, what our master inside of us is suggesting we do, what our higher intelligence is suggesting that we do, the more of our energy, the higher percentage of our energy we are going to be willing to put into that. And that is what awakens our passion. It's not that we're not passionate because we can't be passionate. It's we're not as passionate as we could be to the degree that we're not choosing to do our bliss, that we're not following our passions. Our passions, what does that mean? Well, in many ways, the idea of that is a passion is something that actually allows us to feel more energy. If we're passionate about something, it automatically expands our energy. But I believe that it happens because of that alignment between what we desire and what we're choosing. And when we feel the need to control a situation, or when we feel like we're victims of life, or life is controlling our choices, what happens? We're doing something not because our desire is there, but because we feel like we have to. And so that energy of obligation is a suppressor. It's a suppressor of our passion. It's a suppressor of our ability to bring ourselves fully into whatever we're doing. Now, when I say that, it feels slightly wrong. It's not actually suppressing our ability. In many ways, what it's suppressing is our willingness. When we feel an obligation to do something, part of what that means is that it's not something that we would choose to do if we felt we had a choice. And so what it does is our level of willingness gets pulled back. Well, willingness and willfulness are very related to each other. Now, what does it mean if we talk about someone who is willful? Usually it's used about a child. And what is a willful child like? It means they don't want to do what the adults want them to do. This child is willful. Well, they're choosing to do what they're choosing to do. They have a lot of energy in it. They are passionate about doing it. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. And for many of us, most of us, whether it's family or education or religion or some combination thereof or other factors, our job, we have these beliefs about what's okay, how it's okay to be. And I don't know about you, but not that this phrase was used. We didn't have a Victorian household, but there was almost an ongoing battle between the children and the adults about how loud we were, about how much it was okay to express ourselves as children. And that was certainly true in the classroom, where you have to raise your hand. You have to wait your turn. You have to hold your energy in so that you don't run over the people around you. You have to suppress your self-expression. And all of that, to me, is related to this topic. It's about learning to control yourself. Control yourself. Don't talk so loud. Don't talk so often. Don't make so much noise. That Victorian phrase, children should be seen and not heard. Again, I don't think most of us got that phrase used on us, but that carries over in to a degree in culture. We adults, most adults, many adults anyway, we get disturbed by passion. And children are passion incarnate. They are the life force needing to express itself, and needing to express itself now. There are few things more passionate than a tantrum. It's a whole lot of energy expressing all at once. It's very focused. Now, it's when typically the will, the desire is being denied by the adult. It's being denied by the caretaker. And I'm not saying that we should never say no to children, but understand what's happening there. That child in that moment is feeling controlled in a way that is disempowering. They're feeling their energy shut down. Their will, their ability to will or create their reality is being limited. And again, I'm not going to claim absolute universal. All temper tantrums are in children who are being limited too much. I'm not going to say that. But I know as an adult, I have felt the desire to throw a tantrum. I'm sure I've even thrown some. You might speak to my ex-wives. They might tell you about that. and it's about the need to express something. And that, for me, walking my path, for multiple reasons, I grew up as the watcher. I grew up as the kid over on the side. Not that I didn't participate in doing things, sports or whatever, but I was not the one who was going to speak my mind. Now, that may come as a surprise to some of you, knowing who I am now, but that's not how I was. My self-control was tremendous, and it was tremendously limiting. I was focused on being the good child, the perfect child, getting good grades, because that was the one area where I was most rewarded, and going from there. But it took a long time for me to get to the place where I could even find my own voice, let alone express it. And yet I've gotten to the place now where I sit here most every week with you and express it. And I do that with clients. I do that with friends. I'm not shy anymore. But that energy has been at the core. Needing to break out of that self-control has been at the core of what I've been doing in walking my path. But I think it's there for all of us to some degree or another. Finding the balance. Now, I believe that instead of being the opposite polarity from control, that true passion, passion that is most energizing and most beneficial, is actually in balance. It is what we are choosing. It is not just our desire, and it's exploding to break free from some container of our self-control, which is kind of that that tantrum energy. I got to break out of this. I have to express myself. It's so overwhelming. But when I have experienced this most powerfully, when I've opened into passion, it was very, very much about my choice, what I could choose, what I was choosing was in alignment, very direct, very deeply, very powerfully with what I would like to choose, what I was desiring. And so what does that mean? How do we use that? How can we use that? Well, one of the things that we need to do to step into our mastery is to really look at what our desires are. And that's something that for many of us, for much of our lives, we've not been encouraged to do. I know, again, in that need for self-control in the programs that I had, I spent the majority of my life on some levels, if not most of myself, seeking, I won't even call it guidance from others, but seeking to live up to what I thought others expected of me. It may not have been what they expected. It may not have been what they desired for me, but that was what I was doing. I was looking for my clues about how to know what to do next from others. And it was very self-defeating. And I don't know how many times I'm going to talk about this, but I really go back to January just this year when I did that tremendous burning and clearing out of the energy of self-sacrifice, which that energy was very much tied to this, tied to looking to others to determine my choices rather than looking within as a tremendous freeing point. Now, it's not to say that there was no passion in my life before that. There has been. But this is a process, and the process is exploring. And since that point, one of the biggest things I've been working with is yet another level of getting clear for myself. Well, what do I really desire? What would the life that I would like to lead really look like? And in that energy, I've been able to do things that have been sitting around in my life for years, literally. And I am in the process now of cleaning up backlogs of things that I chose not to do. And it's kind of irrelevant what they are, but underneath that all is the energy of another one of the patterns I've spent so much of my time living, which is procrastination. And I believe it's very much tied to what we've been talking about, that what I would procrastinate on were the things, well, I was able to procrastinate on most anything. But what I would procrastinate most on is the things that had some degree of obligation in them. I was supposed to be doing this. And whether there was actually anyone in my life, anyone in my world who was directly putting that should on me, there have been, certainly, but didn't matter. In my looking out to find what I was supposed to do, based on what other people thought I was supposed to do, excuse me, I managed to put tremendous amounts of shoulds on myself. And then I would, I guess some would say, this is kind of the pattern of being passive aggressive. Then I would resist those things. Now, one of the things that has come up fairly recently, I would say over the last year or so, in some of the sessions that I've done. And when I've, considering I've been doing the channeling for 15 years now, for something to show up just in the last year, I find interesting. Everything evolves. But it's been this piece that, and it's an energetic equation, that's how they've presented it, that any time we have a should, any time we have something that we feel obligated to do, in our energy field, there will be an automatic and immediate resistance. Now, some people have more willpower than others, and they will push through that easier than others, etc. Some people can heal that and shift that more quickly or come to greater awareness of it. But for me, that unconscious resistance came up as a pattern of procrastination where things would not get done. And I'm still not done with that. It still is a degree of a habit. Ask anybody who's been waiting for information about one of the gateways over the last 6 months. But now I have a greater capacity to shift those patterns, to recognize when I'm feeling that inner should and feeling that resistance pushing back at it and feeling the stasis that it gets me into. And that's exactly the lack of passion. It's not feeling able to make the choice myself. And I'll give another personal example. In one of my previous partnerships, I was continuously being pushed to do things for her. And again, what type of thing, it doesn't matter. The irony being that was coming out of, the push was coming out of her need to control the situation so she could feel safe. The irony was, because she was pushing me, I was resisting and procrastinating. I was not doing what she wanted me to do in the speed at which she wanted me to do it. What did that cause? It caused her to push more, which caused me to resist more. It was not a good cycle. It was definitely a vicious one. But the irony is that a lot of those things I started out being very willing to do. I wanted to do these things for her. I was willing to do them. But that push from her caused my resistance to come up and my willingness diminished till the point it disappeared. And I think that's how this dynamic works sometimes when we get into this in relation to other people. Now, I'm not going to sit here and claim to be a victim of her. That was the pattern. Those were the patterns we were running. I was in my patterns of disempowerment. She was in hers. So it's not that. I'm not here blaming, but giving that as an example of how easy it is for these dynamics to interfere with conscious choice. Had I been in a different place with a different level of awareness, I could have gone to her and said, look, I'm feeling really pushed by you, and that causes me on a very deep level to not want to do this. I was happy to do it before. Why are you pushing now? What are you feeling that's causing you to push now? So that I could have expressed what I was feeling, perhaps she could have expressed what she was, and we could have come to a place where that pattern went away. But I wasn't enough in my power to do that. And obviously she wasn't either, because I don't even know if she knows the pattern was there. But the point is, had I been in that place where I could have made a different choice, recognized, you know what, I was happy to do this before she started pushing, why am I resisting it now? I could have moved the resistance. The resistance doesn't have to stop us. In fact, resistance is always fear, and often, and especially in this context, it's fear of not being in control of our own lives. We're resisting that energy of obligation. We're resisting being pushed because we know at some very deep level that we are here to come into mastery. We are here to come into a conscious energy of empowerment and choosing our path. And it's not an easy journey. But it gets easier the more aware we can be of noticing when we're in resistance, of when we're feeling pushed, of what our degree of willingness is. And again, another way to go about working with this awareness, to become more aware of it, is to consciously sit down with, what is it I actually desire? The more we ask that of ourselves, the more clear we will be in any given moment when a choice is up, when a situation is up, the more consciously we'll be able to feel, is this something I desire to do or not? Is it something even that there's not a lot of desire in for me, but perhaps I'm willing to do it because I desire to help this person out. And there is a lot of passion in me about helping this person out. And that's essentially where I was in that relationship. I was in a tremendous amount of desire at the beginning to help her out to the degree that I could. Not trying to fix things for her necessarily, but trying to support her and make things better. And that's what got suppressed in the pattern. But the more we tune in, the more we connect with what our true desires are, the easier it is to gauge in any given moment or circumstance whether what we're being asked to do, whether that comes from a voice inside of us or from someone around us, what we're being asked to do, does this mesh with what I desire? And taking that a step further, does it feed me? Does it awaken that passion, that energy that comes up when my desire and my will, my choice, come together? And when we can breathe with that, to me, breath is always a wonderful tool for checking in the moment, noticing, my breath is kind of constricted right now. Perhaps that means there's something here that I'm in resistance to, or feeling out of control, or feeling unsafe, etc. Then we can breathe through those feelings of being out of control or feeling unsafe and get to the place where we actually can be aware of that little voice, that still voice, the voice of our mastery inside of us, letting us know, is this a good choice for me? Is this a good way to use my energy? Is this a choice that's going to feed me? And that's another way to look at what I would call empowered passion. Is that empowered passion feeds us more energy. When there's something that we are really passionate about, it gives us more energy to do things. It doesn't drain us. And so on the flip side, if we're looking at anything that we're doing that is draining us, what aspect of it feels like we're not a choice? Or what aspect of it feels like, well, that's not what I desire? And then, again, we can make a different choice. We can clear the fear of being out of control. We can clear the fear of being controlled. We can clear whatever else might be up, whatever the fear is, or that sense of limitation, or that sense of obligation that is pushing us and that is causing us to have that automatic resistance come up. So, some things to think about, some things to play with. I also find it very interesting and congruent here today that we have an eclipse, solar eclipse, an annular. It's not a total eclipse. Now, I just read earlier today what that means. Annular comes from Latin, although I don't remember what it means in Latin. I think it means something like ring. But what it means is that at the point where the eclipse is as much as it's going to be, instead of blocking the core of the sun out completely, the moon's a little too far away from the earth. So what it creates is that ring of fire around the edge. Not like a corona, but an actual ring where we're still seeing the sun directly. And, well, back to Johnny Cash, the ring of fire. But when I looked at a picture of this, I was struck by something very, very strongly. Because essentially, it was a ring of fire around, and in contrast to that ring of fire, the moon itself was this black hole in the center. And so for me, energetically, what that brought up was in relation to this passion. When I see that black hole, what I think of is the womb, what I think of is potential. And when I see that ring of fire, what I think of is the passion surrounding it. And so what I would offer right now is just a little bit of a tweak here, a little bit of an exercise, not much. But you might want to play with this outside of time as well. And just pick one thing, one area of your life, one relationship, one circumstance where you would like to have more passion. And the eclipse has not happened yet, at least as of the time of this being live, but the energy is still going to be there. So take that. Take that area that you would choose to be more passionate about and put it into a womb, put it into that dark hole, and then surround it, not just by a ring of fire, but a sphere of fire. In fact, make the walls of the womb the fire, the passion that you're feeding to this area of your life. And just allow yourself to breathe into that. Take a moment, pick a thing, do the image, imagine it, intend it, and breathe into it and empower it. And I would say that this is a useful exercise even without the energy of the eclipse going on, but it's going to be amplified even more. So perhaps before you go to sleep tonight, it might be a good thing to do to just run through your life and pick the areas of your life or the circumstances where you would like to bring more passion in. So. Well, I think I will close this part of the program with that. And before I jump into the channeling, we'll just do a little advertisement here. 2 weeks from tomorrow, if I'm doing my math correctly, 2 weeks from tomorrow, Monday, June 4th, is the next gateway activation. It's going to be the gateway of integrity. And it is also going to be connected, I believe, to the Venus transit, which happens later that week, which I will talk about perhaps next week or the week after. But again, integrity is one of those tricky words because we've got so much of the energy, the idea about integrity being about walking your talk, so to speak, which is a measure of integrity. But to me, it's not what integrity actually is. What integrity is the balance, the cooperation among the various levels of our being. And so integrity is about the integration of our physical, our mental, our emotional, our spiritual lives, and everything else we can think of, so that they're all working together, so that we are this one united being. And when we're not walking our talk, what's happening is two or more levels of our being are fighting with each other. We can't agree within, and so we don't express one thing on one level, maybe with our words, and it doesn't match what happens in our actions. And so, well, I don't think that the gateway of integrity is going to be about being moralized at, but rather shifting that balance and understanding this, that the more we seem to be around people who are not in integrity, the more that's a reflection of our own integrity. And again, not about not walking our talk, but about that not being unified and working all together within ourselves. So if you'd like to change either of those things, this can be a powerful way to do that. So my intention is later today, in this energy of the new moon, to get that information out. We shall see what happens. Hopefully my procrastination won't come up. Anyway, now it's time for some channeling. So, as always, just allow your breathing to deepen if you would to help shift these energies. I'll do some toning and we will have our guest for this portion of the program. Children, this is Helios Investa, come to be with you today. Welcome. For those of you who do not recognize our names, we are the beings who are, shall we say, running the solar system from the sun. Perhaps that's not the best way to put it, but the fastest way to get the energy across. And so we are here to offer you well, something that we would say is quite beneficial if you take us up on it. And and we do not require your worship in order to receive it. But whether you are a sun worshiper who is always out in the sun, who loves the feeling of the sun on you, whether you are a sun avoider out of fear of cancer or fear of sunburn or whatever else you might use as a reason for staying away from our energies or the energies that we are putting forth from the sun, understand this, that the energies coming from the sun are quite literally not just feeding your plants, but feeding your planet. And you are part of your planet. And you are being fed by the sun's energies, not just indirectly through what you eat that has eaten of the sun's energies, but directly. Directly. And we're not talking just about making vitamin D, although that is one way. So what we would like to offer you is this. It is a way to conceive of connecting with the sun that is slightly different than most of you would be doing it already. A way in which you can more directly receive the energies that we offer. So, use this as you would see fit. But we will walk you through it and then we will offer our suggestions of how to make the most of it. So, the first piece is to actually reach out with your consciousness to feel what might be considered the edge of your aura. Now, in essence, you are an infinite being, so there are layers of your energy field that go out and out and out and out, far beyond what you can conceive of, let alone what you can perceive consciously right now in your body. But let us talk about what most people would deem the edge of the aura, going out somewhere between 3 and 8 feet, depending on the person and the state of their energy in a moment. It can get smaller, it can get larger than that, but that's the generally agreed upon area. So how far out yours is in a given moment is not as important as it is simply to open up, to allow yourself to feel what you might define energetically as the edge of your field, as the edge of yourself. And again, just notice that to whatever degree you can. If you don't feel like you're noticing anything, then imagine that you're noticing something. And your imagination will actually help you get more in tune with what is actually there. But as you do that, just allow yourself to breathe in and out again at your own pace. You don't have to follow our telling you to breathe in and out. And as you're breathing in and out, what we would also have you notice is not only that edge of your energetic field, but what we would have you notice is energy movement within your field. Now, some of it is coming from the outer edge inward toward the physical body. Some of it is going out from the body to the outer edge. Some of it is moving around within the aura. So there are many ways in which the energy is going to be moved. But what we would like you to do is just notice that there is movement. In other words, this energy field that you have is in continuous change. You might feel the movement in different ways. You might feel it as a pulsing. You might feel it moving, if you will, with the breath. On the inhalation, the energy moves one way. On the exhalation, it moves another. You might feel it connected very much to the chakras of your system. You might feel it connected in other ways. There is no right or wrong way to experience it. Whatever you are experiencing is fine. It is about noticing the movement, because what that does when you notice the movement is it opens you up more to the energies of change, which is what you're seeking if you're stepping into mastery, if you're desiring to step into mastery, if you're even considering stepping into mastery, is you need to open to change. Because if you were in mastery already, not that change would not occur, but it would not be something you would be trying to force or push at. Which again, even if the should is for the right reason, if you have a should that has you walking the spiritual path or some portion of your spiritual path, you're still going to have that automatic resistance. And so by noticing the movement within your aura, within your energy field, what you're doing is noticing that change is taking place, whether you are consciously choosing it or not. And that opens you up more without the energy of push. And as we said, play with this exercise as you desire. It is not homework that we are giving you that you have to do. There is no push here. It is an opportunity. And now, the next thing to do then, and again, take care of yourself at the physical level as well. So for some of you, at this point in your lives, it is not advisable for you to go spend a great amount of time in the direct rays of the sun. For others, it is marvelous. But whether you're out in the sun directly or not, you can still connect with the energies that are coming from the sun to the planet to feed it. And so if you're out in the sun, that's one thing. If you're not, that's another. Either way, what you're doing is choosing in this exercise to open to the sustenance, the light, the energy, the life force, the passion that is being gifted to you from the sun. And if you're not in the sun directly, then imagine that you are. Imagine it. Imagine that you are feeling the warmth of the sun on your skin. Imagine that you are feeling that radiance of energy in the form of heat that comes with the sun. And just again, open to receiving. And receive as long as you choose. And when you're full, and especially you can set this intention at the beginning, when you have received all that you can receive comfortably and joyfully, when you have received all that you can receive that your energy system can take in and integrate easily, then just have it stop. And you don't have to know when that is. You can set that intention at the beginning. I'm opening to receive the energies of the sun. I'm opening to receive these energies to support me in that way, as long as they are serving me at this time. And when I've reached my full receptivity for this time of doing this, I choose to stop. You don't want to be the balloon that is overfilled and it pops. But just let yourself drink that in. And doing that directly feeds you on every level. And it feeds you directly. Now, that doesn't mean you'll suddenly start to make chlorophyll and turn green. But it will feed you. So, this is our gift to you today, dear ones, along with our blessings and our love. Namaste. Okay. Thank you, Helios and Vesta. Well, and in right in alignment with that, I want to thank all of you out there co-creating this with me and giving me, allowing me to have your support and gratitude energy to help create this, to co-create this each week and this week in particular. So thank you for that. I cannot do this without you, literally, literally. So, Doug, go ahead and start those chimes when you are ready. I will be back, same time, same place next week. In 3 weeks, I believe it is, I will have the first guest in quite some time. A good friend and colleague of mine, Joelle Wilkins, will be joining. Well, hopefully we'll be back. I will be here next week, same time, same place. Hope that you'll join. And, well, you never know where this is going to go. So give me some feedback if you're up for it, what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like more of, what you'd like less of, or anything else you'd like to say. And I will see you on the other side. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Much love. Namaste.